Welcome to episode 48 of The Vinyl Thread with Natalie and Auburn Lowe. This week we celebrate the Joel Townsley Rogers novel, The Red Right Hand.
People say, I thought. You've heard people say, what? I thought. You've heard people say, Vessel. You've heard people say, You've heard people say...
There is one thing that is most important in all the dark mystery of tonight, and that is how that ugly little auburn-haired, red-eyed man, with his torn ear and his sharp, dog-pointed teeth, with his twisted corkscrew legs and his truncated height, and all the other extraordinary details about him, could have got away and vanished so completely from the face of the countryside after killing innocent That is point one of the whole problem. Point two is the question of what he did with innocent Erm's right hand, if the state troopers and the posse of neighbouring farmers haven't yet found it on the swamp road, along with the rest of the young millionaire bridegroom's body, by the time I have finished setting down the details for analysis. But innocent Erm had a right hand, that much is indisputable, and it must be found.
She slapped you across the head with a rolling pin. The rolling pin. Wrong and you was drunk? What did your wife do? Here you go again. Drunk. 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 Drunk.
Let's get married, he had said to her, smiling at her with his diffident white smile, his black eyes crinkled. Let's get married right away, today. All that she would ever know. But as much, perhaps, as most girls know about the man they marry, a girl must take the unread pages on faith, or the whole thing is nothing.
I don't care. When you came home late at night, and you was wrong and you was drunk. What did your wife do?
Innocent Erm did not know, of course. He had no way of knowing. It was just a macabre coincidence that it had suddenly occurred to him that old John R. Buchanan had his summer place near Burlington. But it is a little disquieting that he had planned to take his young bride to a dead man's house. For at that very hour, yesterday afternoon, when they sat making their bright plans in a little ice cream parlour in Danbury, though it is a matter quite apart, at his great estate in Burlington, on a white tablecloth in a quiet room, old John Buchanan was dying beneath my knife. Of him as well as I know my own, perhaps better. I know his height, his weight, his age, the colour of his eyes and hair, the number of his teeth. I know the clothes he wore to the last item. It seems to me that I know his background, almost as if I had been brought up next door to him. I know the voice he spoke in, I know his little mannerisms, but I do not know where he came from, and I do not know his name. I've never laid eyes on him. I feel sure that I shall lay eyes on him before this night is ended. I feel sure he is somewhere very near me. That is definite. That is the only thing I know. But I do not know yet how I know it. And just that cold feeling in itself does not help me to see him. I have got to dig him out.
I can see them, moneyed and carefree, bright as butterflies beneath the summer sun, on their way to their wedding and honeymoon and happiness forever after. I can see her, with her dark brown hair blowing, her chin up proudly, watching the road through the azure-framed 500 glasses which she needed to use for driving, with her white summer coat open, the wind riffling the collar of her periwinkle blue dress, with her big emerald ring which St. Erm had given her last night, reflecting sunlight on her left hand on the wheel.
Over the giant. die of an overdose.
Yes, Lord.
An overdose of black misery.
What do you have to tell her when she wakes up? I said. What is there to tell? He said. Nothing but that it was all a nightmare, I said. A bad dream without reality. That's all it ever was, he said. And that is all it ever will be between her and me. A man came into her life and vanished. A spade dropped on my foot and hurt it. Though I shall limp a little when I smell the yellow roses. Black, rich garden earth all through my life.
Thank you for listening to episode 48 of The Vinyl Thread on Radio Nope. You heard extracts from Joel Townsley Rogers' classic and chilling 1945 novel, The Red Right Hand, and a soundtrack by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Mr. Quark, Living Human, Monty Sunshine, Barry Adamson, and BDI. Until next week, it's goodbye from Alban and me.
All brother died of an overdose.
Yes, Lord.
An overdose of black misery.